You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
Good to have you all with us here today. I hope you had a good week. There are those moments when it's nice to just kind of stop and just take a couple deep breaths regarding our lives and what's going on around us or what's going on inside of us. Have you ever had a peace be still moment when the waters inside are kind of turbulent, kind of churning? We have oftentimes worries and fears, and regrets, anxiety, just kind of flying or flowing through our brains, and just an opportunity to kind of stop and let all of that go still, go silent, be quiet. This is one such moment for us here with our identity statement. Let's do this together. A reminder of who we are and what life is about. I am not what's been done to me, but what Jesus has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Jesus has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Jesus, and as his follower, he determines what I do. Amen. Thank you. We are talking about Jesus and the words and actions that we see throughout the gospel. And one of the things that I've been challenged with here this past week is the way that Jesus connected with people and drew people into his love and into living life with God in a new way. There had been a way of knowing God in the past, but what Jesus was doing is he was inviting people to know God in a very special way. Scripture tells us that no one had seen God at any time. No one knew God or knows God except through Jesus. Jesus is this picture that we didn't have before in our lives. And so the way that God had been interacted with, the way that God had been portrayed, the way that God had been connected with, Jesus was inviting people to learn a new way, to grow in the way that they were interacting with God. Have you ever had a moment where you felt like you needed to follow Jesus down a particular path, in a particular direction? You felt like in your heart, like I'm being pulled or I'm being drawn in this direction, but there was something that was holding you back. You ever felt that drawing, that initiation of God's Spirit in your life? I need to go in this direction, but yet there's something that holds me back. And this morning I want to talk a little bit about what those things that the disciples had to overcome in their life so that they were not held back from walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus. There's a difference between walking with someone and then walking behind someone. Have you ever walked behind someone before? My mom, as a kid, would not let me push the shopping cart behind her. You know why? Mamas and papas, those of you that have gone to the store with a nephew or a niece or some little squatty body, what? You don't have heels pretty fast because that kid doesn't know when to stop when you're supposed to stop. Jesus doesn't call us to walk behind him. He calls us to walk beside him, to walk with him, to learn from him. There were those moments throughout Scripture where people were trying to see where is Jesus and what is Jesus doing? What is Jesus all about? Remember the story of Zacchaeus, that wee little man? Wee little man was he. Climbed up in a sycamore tree for who did he want to see? The Lord. He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to learn and grow from what Jesus was sharing and giving. And there's only a few things that we can learn from being behind somebody. Everything changes. The dynamic changes when you're beside someone. When you're beside someone, side by side. This morning, I want to do three things. First of all, we're going to watch a quick video clip about what it means for us to grow and to change, to not be held back in our lives. Then secondly, we're going to read some scriptures about the disciples and their experience of not being held back, what could have held them back, and what they were free to move towards with Jesus. And then thirdly, we're going to close with an exercise. I'm going to give each of you a piece of paper, and we're going to write down those things in our life that we feel that God is calling us to let go so that we can move forward in the direction that he has for us. So let's look at this video here right quick about how our brains are involved in directing us, either freeing us or holding us back from learning and growing in every area of who we are.
There are two types of mindset we can cultivate. One that embraces problems as opportunities to learn, and one that avoids them, often out of fear to fail. People that avoid conflicts can be described as having a fixed mindset. Those who see problems as interesting challenges have a growth mindset. Sometimes we like to switch from one to the other. People have a fixed mindset because they believe that basic qualities, like intelligence or talents, are fixed traits, and that these traits are responsible for success. They often like to document past achievements. With a growth mindset, people believe that new abilities can be developed through practice. This view creates the love for learning that most great leaders and artists have in common. For them, life becomes an exciting journey with endless opportunity to figure out new things and advance. To develop a growth mindset, Dr. Carol Dweck, the Stanford University professor who coined the term, advises leaders, teachers, and parents to celebrate trying. Teachers should applaud students for any grade if they studied hard. Parents should encourage their children to develop any new skill they are interested in. Doing this will make them learn the skill of learning, which will also help them back in the classroom. To illustrate the difference in everyday life, let's observe two imaginary kids. Jay thinks you've either got it or you haven't. Anne knows that she can learn anything if she wants it enough. At physical exercise, Jay avoids challenges. When it's time to jump over the vaulting horse, he's afraid to look stupid and be laughed at. Anne embraces any challenge. It's exciting. It's fun. She knows that failing is part of learning, and if she tries hard, at the end, nobody will laugh at her. Jay avoids feedback. If the teacher tells him how to improve an assignment he has been working on, he takes it personally. Anne knows that to improve, she needs to listen to constructive criticism. She also understands that it's not her that is being assessed, but the results of her work on that one day. Jay always takes the easy road. For example, he likes escalators and hates to take the stairs. When he is practicing the guitar, he stops the moment he's getting stuck. Anne usually doesn't even take escalators. She jumps up the stairs, counts every step in her head, and enjoys feeling the blood rushing through her veins. She practices the drums every morning for 15 minutes. Not that she always enjoys it, but she knows that effort is part of a journey to a more fun life. Anne likes to see others succeed. It inspires her. She knows that if she motivates her friends to get better, she herself is likely to grow too. If his friends try new things and succeed, Jay feels threatened. He's afraid that their success will put pressure on him to do more with his life too. Modern companies look for employees with a growth mindset because they solve problems and persist despite obstacles. To spot the right ones, some ask during the interview whether the job applicant believes if managers are born or if management is a skill learned. Jay thinks that managers are born. Anne gets the job. Neuroscientists support the idea. They confirm that the brain grows like any other muscle in the body, with training.
Turn your scriptures, if you have the scripture with you this morning, to Matthew chapter 4. We'll have this text here up on the page behind me. This passage is also paralleled in Mark's Gospel 1, verse 16 through 34, and then Luke 5, 1 through 11. But we're just going to take a look at Matthew's account of Jesus calling his first disciples. This is what it says. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Here is a time and a place where tradition and the way that we've always done things is paramount. If you can think of one thing that the children of Israel are known for, it's going through hard times and being able to retain their traditions from the past. For Israel, that's been part of their success over the years, is that they've been able to hold on to what God has given for them to hold on to and not let it go. Whether they went into exile, or they made it to the promised land, or they had an occupying force come in, Rome, they were holding on to what their life was all about. That's a great and an admirable trait. Do you have people in your life that even though there are those moments that things get hard and intense, that they're faithful and they're true to what they know they need to do? They're not blown to and fro this way or that way? How many of us know somebody like that? On the flip side, though, there comes that moment when God is calling us to go from point A to point B, or Jesus is looking at us and saying, put down your nets, get out of the boat, leave your family, leave your community, leave your sense of identity, leave everything that you know and is familiar and you found your security in. It's time to walk down a new path. I don't know about you, but that's kind of scary to think about that moment in my life when I've looked at God's calling and I've listened to God's calling and I've had a decision to make. This is what's worked for me in the past. Am I going to move forward? We don't just experience it in the business world. It's not just businesses that are looking for people who have been freed from this fixed mindset of this is the way it's going to be. I was given this mental ability and I can't move and grow in any other direction. But it's also mirroring the spiritual world and our inner world, our inner life, that life within our hearts where God is speaking to us and directing us and calling us. It's scary though when this is the way I've always known God and the way that God has always worked in my life to have a come and follow me moment. But Jesus, I've fed myself. I'm a part of my family business. I'm a part of the way it's always been done. I'm a cog in the wheel. And what happens if one of those cogs come out? The wheel might roll off. I love my family. I love my dad. I love the sea. I love the fish. I love the life that I have. And I love the way that I interact with you and have interacted with you in the past. And yet Jesus says, come. Can you see those walls in their mind that they had to look at and say, I'm going to overcome that. I'm not going to allow that objection in that moment. Maybe you have had an objection in your life when God has said, this is a new place that I want you to go. This is a new direction I want you to follow. I'm with you. You don't walk behind me. You walk with me. You're my brother. You're my sister. We're going to do this together as friends. The way it's always been. You ever had this is the way it's always been. This is the way I've always done it. This is the way I've always looked at God. The way I've always looked at my wife. The way I've always looked at my kids. The way I've always looked at those irritations in my life. Those problems. Am I going to go up the escalator because it's the easy way and I've always done it? Or is it time for me to take the stairs? It's the way I like it. I have the way I like it moments all the time. The way I like it is to sleep in the morning until 7 o'clock, undisturbed and quiet. That's not the reality with four children in the home. That's not the reality with one child in the home or with pets in the home or with the wind blowing on a morning like it was this morning. There are those things that move us and push us. How do I respond in that situation? How do I respond on the physical? When my boss says, hey, I want you to take a look at this project, and this is a project you've never done before, but I think you have the skills to do it. But this is not something that I've done. This is not a direction I have experience in. And someone says, are you willing to step outside of your fixed mindset in this moment? Jesus looked at his disciples and said, come, follow me. Come with me. Come with me. there's those moments too that there's no need for change. There's no need for change. There's no need. Again, if the shoe fits, wear it. I'm happy with the house I live in. I'm happy with my finances. I'm happy with the dysfunction in my relationships or the success I feel I have in my relationships. There are those moments when God calls us and I'm just like, well, yeah, but there's no need for change right now in my life. And then lastly, my favorite question here, save the best for last. Why would I want to do that? Why would I? That's going to take work. It's going to take major work. Friday evening, I was on my way to Huntsville State Park for a men's retreat. And on the way there, there were three small little towns that I had to go through right before I got to the state park. And all of a sudden, as I dropped down my speed to 35 miles an hour, and then I went through the town, and it goes up to 45, and then to 55, and then to 70, like, I don't know where he came from, but there was a sheriff right behind me. And it wasn't like he was behind me and I saw him coming. It was like he was right behind me on my bumper. I don't know about you, but those moments, no lights flashing, no siren, but he was just there. And I'm thinking, I saw that speed limit sign go up to 70, but I wonder if I just imagined it in that moment. All of a sudden, my throat got kind of scratchy. The core, the center, my heart, my very being, I felt it close down and get tighter. I'm sitting there like a little rabbit in headlights thinking, I don't even want to reach over and grab a drink of water right now because what is he thinking that I'm doing? You all have had that moment. So yesterday morning, I wake up early and I'm thinking about that moment of that police car behind me, and I'm reminded that emotion that I felt is connected to previous emotions that I felt. And our emotions are messengers to remind us of something and to tell us that there's something that we need to address that maybe we haven't addressed in the past. And so I'm sitting under some pine trees there in the state park, and I'm getting still and quiet before the Lord. I'm just like, what was going on? Because physiologically, spiritually, emotionally, every part of my being, I felt it just freeze and tighten up. And there was a time in my life I was reminded, not by the circumstance, but by the feeling of that emotion of fear and freezing, that the last couple last times that I've experienced that emotion was when I had somebody who was in a position of authority. They didn't believe me. You ever had that moment when someone doesn't believe you and they assume the worst in a situation? And I'm following the breadcrumbs that the Holy Spirit is laying out for me, and I'm listening to, when was the last time that I felt that and I experienced that? And I'm following it, and I trace it all the way back to when I was about 9 years old and I had my first pocket knife. And there was an adult in my life that when they saw that I had a pocket knife out, they went ballistic all over me because I was too young and too small to have a pocket knife. And they wouldn't let me speak to say that I had permission in that time and in that moment to be carving. That my dad had trained me how to use a pocket knife. There are those moments when I have a fixed mindset where this is the way it's always been. This is the way I will always be, and I'm not going to change in this place. And yet those messengers come, and those messengers come, and those messengers come to me. Jesus says, come follow me. Come follow me. Don't be held back in this moment. That is just one small way that our makeup, the whole person, all that we are, is affected by our experiences from the past and dictates sometimes, if we let them and we don't allow there to be some healing and some restoration, for us to come to that place of freedom. Jesus, I can follow you. You know what happened yesterday afternoon as I'm driving back from Huntsville State Park? Corner of my eye, pulled off in the corner. That same town was the sheriff. And I saw his silhouette there as I'm driving by. And I took a deep breath and I said, wow, I'm free from that. I'm free from that. Why? Because Jesus is with me right now and leading me into a new place. A new place that is free to learn and to grow and to move in new directions. In our hearts, there are moments where Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to learn and I want you to grow in this area. I don't want you to have a fixed mindset in the way that your inner person, your true self, that work where Jesus is alive and well in us. I don't want that to be held back. I want it to continue to follow me into the fullness of my kingdom in your life. There's those moments where my mind gets stuck and gets trapped. I've always done this. This is the job I've had. I'm not going to step out of it. This is the way I've always interacted with people. I'm not going to step out of it. There are those moments spiritually when God is saying, just because your mama or your papa or you haven't done this in maybe years and years and years, doesn't mean that it's not time for you to say yes and to take some steps with Jesus as Jesus walks beside you, with you. There are those moments where Jesus used some words that were kind of scary and shaking us to the very core. Matthew 19, verse 29, he says this, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. There are those moments in our lives when we face the fact that there are things in competition with following Jesus. And Jesus uses some of the hardest things that he possibly could. Don't mess with my kids. Don't mess with my wife. Don't mess with my family. Don't mess with my house. Don't mess with my land. This morning, my daughter, while she's eating breakfast, Dad, there's a dog out front. My first thought was, where's the BB gun? You know, it doesn't have permission to be here. And Jesus uses something very stark and shattering to the very core of who we are and what we love to move us to that place of openness to follow Jesus so that nothing is holding us back in our lives. Nothing is holding us back from following the path that he has for us. That path is going to change from day to day. The key is that we are staying true to that still small voice, to that presence of Christ within each of us. My path is not your path, but Jesus is on your path with you, just like Jesus is on my path with me. This morning, I just want to give us an opportunity to practice looking at those things that may be in competition with Jesus, looking at those things that are keeping us back from knowing the joy, the love, the safety, knowing what it means to have Christ right beside us in our journey. All right? And I'm going to give each of us a piece of paper, and I want you to write on that piece of paper anything that comes to mind this morning. I'm going to pass out the paper that's there. That'd be great. Anything that comes to mind that I need to let this go. This is a morning, and it's an opportunity for new beginnings. It's an opportunity for us to open up and to say, I am letting this go in order to receive what God has for me. It doesn't have to be a huge, long list. It can be one thing. It can be something within your character. You know, I'm just struggling with anger. I'm struggling with greed. I'm struggling with lust. I'm struggling with bitterness. I'm struggling with this or that. I'm struggling in this relationship or that relationship. I have this pattern in my life that I know is just fortifying the old way is the best way. Each of us have an opportunity to write down what is holding us back. Again, this is just for you. You just write this down. want you to have your sheet. You're not a rush. Take your time. I want you to just fold it over. And then walk over here to a bowl of water. God's love dissolves all of those things that would hold us back when we simply bring it to Him and allow His love to dissolve it. And I just want you to take your sheet of paper that's folded. No one else has seen what's on there. Just want you to drop it right in the center of the water. Let it set for just a second or two. And then there's a spoon. I want you to take that spoon and I want you to stir. To let God's love dissolve all those things that hold us back from following Him. In this moment, let's be reminded that we're not held back, but we're held. Jesus holds us as we walk forward together. Let's all stand. We'll close with this scripture. Let's read this twice together, if y'all would join me. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you. You rule the raging sea. When its waves rise, you still them. One more time. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its sea waves rise, you still them. Jesus, we just thank you for this moment. We thank you for each of the words that we wrote on our little sheets of paper. We thank you for what they represent in us and around us. We thank you that you are the God who calls us not to hold anything back. You are the God who holds us. We thank you. We rest in your love. In this moment, we thank you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.